Today's Old Testament reading is from Genesis chapter 9. God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. It is for every beast of the earth. I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. This is the word of the Lord." Thanks be to God. The epistle lesson is from Ephesians chapter 3. "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night he came to them, walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they came to the land at Gennesaret, and moored out to shore. And when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized him, and ran about the whole region, and began to bring sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. And whenever he came, in villages, cities, or countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment, and as many as touched it were made well. This is the gospel of the Lord.
One would easily think that today is all about water, the water of the flood of Noah's time, the water that frightens the disciples and that Jesus walks on, the water that does not take life but brings life in holy baptism. Yes, there's a lot of talk in the appointed scripture readings about water, a lot of talk in the Bible about water. And a lot of things happen with water, and so you need to understand that when things are happening with water, it is not just water alone, but water connected to the Word of God that makes the things happen. This is how it is in baptism, and that is how it is with our gospel reading for today. A few weeks ago, we heard how Jesus slept in the back of the boat during a storm, and this week, we hear how Jesus would prefer to walk right past the boat rather than get into it with his disciples. This gospel reading is all about boats and the church, Jesus and his disciples. Jesus had just finished feeding the 5,000 with five loaves of bread and two fish. He then sends the disciples out on the Sea of Galilee at night by themselves, while he stayed behind to pray. But their time out on the water was exactly the opposite of how the day went. It was hard, filled with adversity. The wind was against them, so it was hard work. Progress was exhausting. And Jesus is off somewhere praying. Where is he when you need him? After all, as we heard a few weeks ago, when he was with the disciples in the boat out on the sea when the storm came, he helped them. But where is he now? He is off somewhere praying. And what is he praying for? For the church, the boat, the disciples who are out on the dangerous sea. And you know how that is. You've been there. You've had a good day, maybe a good week. Summer is kind of like that. A week at the cottage, a trip, some visiting, something special, some adventure, something out of the ordinary. You went with suitcases filled with clothes and came back filled with stories and memories. And when it's over, you come back home. And all the nice things you saw and did, and all the interesting people you may have met, are replaced with the same old parents and brothers and sisters, neighbors, the same old routines, chores, washing dishes, doing laundry, mowing grass, and the like. And Jesus was there for the disciples back then, but where is he now for our struggles? Jesus was there for the disciples back then, but where is he now for the struggles right now? Well, remember what we confess in the Creed. He has ascended to the right hand of the Father, where he is watching over his church and praying for his church. Yes, even for you. And he is doing so because of all of us have been there. Good days, good weeks that end far too soon, and the back to the grind, back to adversity, and the wind against us. Challenges, struggles, trials that keep coming and never seem to end. Times when it seems like Jesus isn't there for us when we need him. And yet he is there. When he was praying, he saw the disciples. He saw them struggling. He saw their adversity. For the good shepherd never stops watching over his sheep. He never lets them get too far away. And then he comes to them. He doesn't just zap himself into the boat. That's not how Jesus chooses to work. Instead, he walks on the water because that's where his disciples were, comes to them where they are. Now, to be sure, St. Mark tells us, however, that he had intended to pass them by. And why? Well, they weren't really in danger, not like when they were caught in the storm. This time it was tough, it was hard, but they were making progress. Slow, difficult, hard, but progress just the same. So Jesus was just going to let them see him, a quick glance so that they would know that he is with them and that they were not alone. He is going ahead of them to prepare for them. That should have encouraged them, but it doesn't. Instead, they think they are seeing a ghost. They wanted Jesus with them, but not like that. They immediately think the worst and cry out, frightened, helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And that is often us too. Oh, we can read in the Bible in a few passages that Jesus is with us always, abiding with us, never leaving nor forsaking us. That is what he promises. But maybe, like the disciples, it's just not in the way we want him to be. He doesn't suddenly appear in our church, doesn't zap himself into our lives into the midst of our problems. But he is with us. And he sends the people he uses to care for us, parents, spouses, friends, family, co-workers, neighbors, doctors, caregivers, pastors, and more. These are the ones through whom God has mercy on us, helps us, gives to us, and provides for us. And yet, as true as that is, it still seems a little disappointing, doesn't it? After all, we have something else in mind. We want Jesus, but maybe not like that. But don't be disappointed. Repent and give thanks to God for those gifts that he has given you. And don't think that he cannot do great things to such simple people through such simple means. Look at Noah. Through an ordinary man and his boat, God saved, kept alive all the species of animals in his creation, along with Noah and his family. And through him and from him would come your Savior, using rather ordinary means, ordinary men and women, generation after generation, family after family. God, you see, didn't zap our Savior into this world and all his troubles. Instead, he came through that family line of Noah and Abraham and David and was born of a virgin and laid in a lonely manger. He learned to walk and talk, grew up in the town of Nazareth, of which was said, where no good thing shall come. He traveled along with a ragtag group of followers, rather regular, ordinary men, and then eventually he was condemned and crucified. And the disciples were scared then too, denying him to save their own skin, running away, hiding behind locked doors, like a sheep without shepherd. But on the third day after all that, the risen Lord Jesus spoke about the same words to those frightened disciples behind locked doors that he once spoke to them in the boat, who thought that they were seeing a ghost. Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. And do you know what? His word does just what it says. The shepherd is praying for his sheep. He is with his sheep, and they are comforted and have peace. And that is the way of peace for us as well, the word of God. The word of God that teaches us that no matter how bad things seem, they are never out of our good shepherd's view or our Holy Father's control. The word of God that speaks peace to us in the forgiveness of our sins. The word of God joined to ordinarily water that does a most amazing thing. Washes us clean on the inside, unites us to Jesus, makes us sons and daughters of God in him, and gives us the Holy Spirit. Yes, Jesus is here with us, and his word and spirit here too, to give us peace in the midst of the winds of adversity, in our unpredictable and sin-filled world, in our ever-changing and decaying lives. And yet, as true as it is, it often seems a little disappointing, but is not quite as flashy as what we see on religious television programs, or might go down on the street. Oh, we want Jesus, but maybe not like that. But again, don't be disappointed. Repent and give thanks for God for these gifts that he has given us. Even when all we've got is his word spoken by a man as sinful as we are, and not something more spectacular than that. But don't be deceived. Don't be disappointed. After all, as St. Paul says, Jesus is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to his power at work within us. Or as he says elsewhere, Jesus doesn't choose or use the powerful and spectacular things of the world to give his gifts. Instead, he uses the weak, the lowly, and despised things of the world to do the greatest things. Things like the cross, an instrument of death that he used to bring life, real life, abundant life, eternal life. And so with Jesus now in the boat, the winds die down and the disciples are able to make it safely to the other side. And when they get there, Jesus picks up right where he left off, healing, driving out demons, teaching, caring, shepherding. The people come to him, and he turns none away. And yes, for us too, after our perfect days and weeks of summer vacation, we return home, and Jesus picks up right where he left off. It may seem as if he is with us or is passing us by, but is not so. His promise to Noah is still his promise to us, that the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. And why? Because the Father did something else instead. He offered up his own Son, offered up the flesh and blood of his Son for your sins, for my sins, and for the sin of the world. And the water the Father now sends is not a destroying water, but a life-giving water, rich in grace, a washing of the new birth in the Holy Spirit, as the Small Catechism says. But that body and the blood of his Son, given and shed for us, and for the forgiveness of sins, is now given to us here in this boat, the church, which swallows up your sin and death and gives us peace and life. Yes, here Jesus says to us, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. And the sign of this covenant, this promise, isn't a rainbow in the clouds, but the cross placed upon our forehead and upon our heart when we are drowned and raised in the baptismal flood. The sign that tells us, I will never leave you nor forsake you, for I am with you always to the very ends of the age. And as true as that is, it might still seem a little disappointing at times, but don't be disappointed. Repent and give thanks to God for these gifts that he's given us. After all, you have a Savior who is with you not only in the good days and weeks, but also in the really bad days and weeks, during times of ease and also adversity, in the spectacular and the ordinary, in plenty and in want, in joy and in sorrow, in life and even in death. A Savior who is here with us so that we might be with him in paradise forever. And with such a Savior, with such promises, in such a heaven, we will not be disappointed. Now may the joy of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.